this week, the African Growth and Opportunity Act. African countries want the trade pact with the United States renewed before it expires in 2025. The U.S. wants to make changes to AGOA, including dropping some countries from the program. What does AGOA really do for African economies? Who thrives on it? And who might have to survive without it? Straight Talk Africa starts now. Hello there and welcome to Straight Talk Africa. We're coming to you from VOA's headquarters in Washington. I'm Heidi Adams. It is so good to be with you. The annual AGOA summit wrapped up in South Africa recently. It brought together senior government officials from the US and African countries, as well as representatives from the private sector, labor and civil society to discuss the future of trade between the two regions. AGOA stands for the African Growth and Opportunity Act, and it gives about 35 eligible African countries duty-free access to the U.S. market, mostly for agricultural and manufactured products they export. Under AGOA, total goods imported to the U.S. were worth about $10 billion from countries, but countries can lose and regain eligibility based on certain criteria, such as economic policies and protection of human rights. But now U.S. President Joe Biden plans to drop four African countries from the trade program. Niger and Gabon for coup d'etats, and the Central African Republic and Uganda for what the U.S. says are gross human rights violations, even as African leaders are asking the U.S. Congress to renew the trade policy for another 10 years or more before it expires in 2025.
At a garment factory in Kenya's capital, Nairobi, the future of a U.S.-Africa trade deal is on Nora Nasimiyu's mind. She's worked here stitching Levi's jeans, largely for US customers, for 13 years. It's how she's put six children through school and university. But she fears an uncertain future if the African Growth and Opportunity Act, or AGOA, is not renewed.
So we are praying that they extend. If they extend, it is going to be a very big advantage towards Kenyans at large.
AGOA provides qualifying African countries with duty-free access to the world's biggest consumer market. Nasimiyu's employer, Pankaj Bedi, chairman of United Aryan EPZ, said 99% of their garments go to the US.
Once AGOA is gone, all the buyers are gone, all the productions are gone. So similarly, if AGOA is not there, it would be not sustainable for us to survive here. So AGOA is supreme. All four pillars of the business are based on AGOA only.
The program is due to expire in September 2025. But concern over its future is why African countries have been pushing for an early 10-year extension without changes. That's needed, they say, to reassure businesses and investors. Here's South African President Cyril Ramaphosa speaking at the summit on Friday.
United States and us, we are here for the long haul. So let us make AGOA a long haul opportunity for all of us.
AGOA, which saw over $10 billion of African exports enter the US market duty-free last year, does enjoy long-standing bipartisan support from US lawmakers. They see it as critical in countering Chinese influence on the continent. However, there are divisions over the need for updates. A recent push in the Senate is aiming to pass a quick renewal deal. President Joe Biden has said he fully supports reauthorization. But his Secretary of State, Antony Blinken, said on Friday that Biden also wants to make it even better. African governments and U.S. industry associations, however, worry that attempts to radically alter AGOA risk bogging it down in a Congress that is already struggling to pass even the most critical legislation.
And that is David Doyle from Reuters reporting there. Well, joining me now to discuss some of the recent developments and controversies around the African Growth and Opportunity Act is legal analyst and partner at Adomi Advisory Group, Johanna LeBlanc, who is no stranger to this show. Johanna, a warm welcome back to Straight Talk Africa. The Africa Growth and Opportunity Act is 23 years old. That is a fully grown adult by now. And President Joe Biden says he wants to make changes to AGOA to improve the flagship trade program with African countries. What exactly are they looking at changing here, Johanna? You have extensive experience on Capitol Hill. When something like this comes to the fore, what exactly would they be like wanting to change here?
Well, first and foremost, it's been 10 years since the program was renewed, which means that Africa has changed drastically. Population has increased. More and more people have access to technology. And when you look at the trade agreement currently, there's no language around digital trade, which should be updated to ensure that folks can access the market digitally, right? And I think that when you look at the AFCFTA, which is Africa's own trade agreement, AFCFTA and AGOA need to be in alignment, right? Mm-hmm. I don't think that AGOA should undermine the AFCFTA, but supplement it. But you have people like Senator Coons who sent a letter to the Biden administration asking to make changes such as removing South Africa as a partner because of South Africa's political leaning as it relates to Russia and other countries that do not serve in the national security interests of the United States government. However, I think that it would be a missed opportunity if the U.S. government were to remove South Africa from this program. After all, South Africa's the number one beneficiary of this trade program. And then you have countries like Nigeria, you have Kenya, and then you have Ethiopia, which unfortunately was removed because of gross human rights violations. But as you mentioned earlier, the U.S. administration is also looking to remove countries like Niger, Gabon, and Uganda, obviously, for its anti-LGBTQ legislation that the U.S. says it passed several months ago.
And speaking of those countries, I mean, you look at Uganda, for example, reportedly exported goods worth $174 million to the U.S. last year. Johanna, when a country loses eligibility, there are, of course, ramifications that run deep into an economy. When a country loses these trade preferences under AGOA, what exactly happens and what exactly happens and who does it hurt the most?
Well, what happens is that the country no longer has access to some of the agreements under the policy, right? But it's not just the African countries that lose. It's also American companies that do business under the Act, right? So I think that when it comes to AGOA, renewing it, which I think Congress will renew ultimately, maybe not this year, and there's been a great push to include it in the National Defense Authorization Act, but I think because of political challenges and the dysfunction of the United States Congress currently, it's probably not going to be passed this year, which leaves a certain level of uncertainty because one of the things when it comes to AGOA is that investors have to put in their orders 2 years in advance, and they want that certainty that it will be renewed. So that means that some of the opportunities may go to countries like China. But I do think that to renew AGOA the way it is right now, today, would not do the African continent any justice, right? I think that we need to take a step back and ensure that a new AGOA is consistent with the changes of the African continent and also the economies which have evolved drastically across the African continent. But it is in the national security interest and strategic interest of the United States government to see that this policy is renewed. Otherwise, you will lose the continent to countries like China, Russia, and as we know, China is one of Africa's number one trading partners currently. So there's a lot at stake right now, but I think ultimately Congress will renew this, and it has historically been a nonpartisan issue when it comes to renewing AGOA.
So risks and benefits on both sides of this agreement. AGOA lists 49 African countries as potential candidates, mm-hmm. right? Now, by the U.S. officials' own admission, not enough African countries are participating in AGOA. But as we're beginning to see see it's not just a matter of, oh, I want to participate as a nation, we want to participate, but are we eligible? Do we meet all the eligibility requirements? The number of eligible African countries who would have duty-free access right now is at more or less 35. Do you see more countries becoming eligible to join or be included in AGOA? Right now we're hearing of countries being dropped, but do you see any possibilities of countries being added?
Well, the program was created to help support economies across sub-Saharan Africa. Perhaps in the new proposed legislation, they would expand it beyond sub-Saharan Africa, maybe North Africa, right, and so on. So I don't know, but these are discussions that need to be had. But as it relates to eligible countries not participating, there's a big issue with the underutilization of AGOA, and that is not having the proper market to support AGOA, because AGOA is not extensive, right? You look at products like agriculture, the textile sector, and so on. So perhaps we need to look at different countries and to see what kind of market exists in those countries and be sure that we are inclusive in AGOA so that these countries can truly take advantage of the act. But again, that's why it is imperative for us to sit back and for African governments to take a very proactive approach in the renewal and do not allow Washington to simply determine and dictate what the language is going to be or what some of those goods and services will be under AGOA.
Is that what's happening right now, that Washington is determining everything? Are African countries pushing strongly to have their voices heard and be included in sort of the decision making around AGOA?
Well, the issue is that AGOA, it's a unilateral policy by the United States government. But obviously, it impacts African countries. So there needs to be more advocacy on behalf of African governments across the continent to make sure that the updated AGOA, the renewed AGOA, reflects the trends and the needs and are also, again, as I said earlier, support the AFCFTA and do not undermine AFCFTA. And I think, again, it's incredibly important to ensure that because more and more people have access to the internet, digital trade is a must. And we look at the AFCFTA, there is a protocol on digital trade, and I'll say the AFCFTA is much more advanced than AGOA. Obviously, AFCFTA is relatively new in comparison to AGOA, which was renewed 10 years ago. But I think there's a lot that needs to be changed to ensure that we help grow some of these markets, some of these economies. It's a great tool, and it will be renewed, but there are critical changes that must be made.
Johanna LeBlanc, always great to have you here. Thanks for bringing us your insights. And as you said, Ulido to Africa has a lot more to offer. We thank you very much for coming in and talking to us. Well, we're going to take a short break here on Straight Talk Africa. And when we return, dozens of African economies rely on it. Some could lose their access to it. After the break, we'll look at the give and take between African countries and the United States under the African Growth and Opportunity Act. Be back in a moment.
In times of change, when the world seems uncertain, and what we hear doesn't reflect what we see, we seek the truth. When we are told only part of the story, we lose trust. In moments of crisis, our dreams, hopes, and wishes for a better tomorrow depend on a free press. At Voice of America, we bring you the stories that people take risks to see. We connect the world and unite it with truth. At Voice of America, we show you the whole picture.
The misuse of of social media can lead to the spread of falsehood that endangers lives and property. Nigerian authorities are seeking to pass a law that would give the government power to regulate digital platforms across the country. However, opponents say it's an attempt to control free speech and dissenting opinions. This week on Our Voices, we discuss government bans and internet blackouts, say to preserve social order, that have created challenges for those who use social media. Join the conversation each week right here on Our Voices.
You're watching VOA's Red Carpet. My name is Jackson Vunganyi. Thank you so much for joining us each week right here on Red Carpet. We bring you the latest in...
You're with Straight Talk Africa. Welcome back. We're discussing the African Growth and Opportunity Act, or AGOA. It's a trade program that gives some 35 African countries duty-free access to the U.S. market. Now, it's up for renewal, and U.S. President Joe Biden wants to make some changes to it. He's also considering expelling four African countries from the trade pact. Here's U.S. Trade Representative Catherine Tai speaking in South Africa.
China's footprint in the global economy in terms of trade is enormous. We know that. That is true in many of our conversations around the world. We feel very strongly that the type of partnership the United States brings and can bring is inherently different from what other partners bring. And that is why we are focused on enhancing and building on a U.S. partnership with Africa.
Well, that's U.S. Trade Representative Catherine Tai there speaking about the United States versus China as partners for African countries. Now, the Biden administration says it wants the U.S. Congress to improve AGOA, not just renew it without changes. What are those changes and how would they impact African nations? And what do African countries eligible for the trade program want? My guests are Marissa Lorenzo. She's a political analyst based in South Africa. She joins us from Johannesburg, where the AGOA summit, of course, took place last week. And joining us from Kampala, Uganda, is trade and investment analyst Dennis Matunda. Marissa and Dennis, a warm welcome to both of you. And Marissa, I want to start out with you. What were the biggest takeaways for you from the AGOA forum in Johannesburg last week? What, in your view, did that summit accomplish?
So for me, the biggest takeaway really is just how important AGOA actually is. I think that we've been hearing a lot of criticism about how, you know, how much does it really benefit African countries that are a part of it. There's obviously been a lot of criticism about the four countries that were just announced that will be excluded from the beginning of next year. But at the summit, we, you know, saw that most eligible countries are very much in favor of it moving forward. And for South Africa in particular, the message coming out was that we would like some tweaks, but we don't believe that it needs to be overhauled. I'm not sure if this is a view that would be held by all African countries that could be part of AGOA, but that was quite interesting to see because African governments have become a lot more vocal about issues such as climate change, such as vaccine nationalism during the COVID-19 pandemic, and I kind of expected a little bit of a stronger voice on this. But I think that there are very clear benefits to having it. The African governments are worried that investors are concerned about the uncertainty and are maybe going to wait and see if it is renewed. But really the message is that please can it be renewed, and not even just for 10 years, actually possibly for 20.
Now, of course, Dennis Matunda, to the points Marissa made there, the disagreements on, you know, its renewal, what changes should be made, what African countries want versus what the United States wants. In its current form, does AGOA help or hinder relations between African countries and the United States, especially in the scheme of this sort of grand reset that the United States envisions for its relationship with African countries, given that politics seems to be playing a big role here in the trade relationships?
You know, what's interesting about AGOA, and thank you very much for having me, the ladies that have spoken before me have actually made the points. Catherine Tai made the point that the United States brings a very different dynamic to the United States vis-a-vis what China brings. Johanna made a very, very good point by pointing out that if you look at what AGOA is doing right now, the African countries need to advocate on their own behalf. And what my friend in Johannesburg has just actually made out is that there are disagreements. But let's come to the heart of the matter. The reality is, whether we talk about its current status or not, AGOA does not necessarily serve an equitable role across the region, especially because of things like cutting countries out just because of a few things. Now, I fully understand that if you are going to be inimical to U.S. national security, you don't deserve to be in AGOA. If you're going to do gross human rights violations, you don't deserve to be in AGOA. And if you are doing a few things to the continent, you don't deserve to be in AGOA. But there's one of the most fundamental things that the AGOA trade policy states, that if you are making radical progress or great progress to being a market economy, a liberal democracy, that should count for more than anything else. And like everybody has said, Africa is making such rapid changes. In my opinion, if the United States is going to be a strategic partner, it needs to recognize that those partnerships come with ebbs and flows. And if there are a few things you need to deal with them, but do not take people out of a fundamental thing like the African Growth and Opportunities Act.
Marissa, so Dennis, they're alluding to look at the progress Africa is making, not necessarily just the setbacks we're seeing. But we talked earlier about eligibility requirements, especially the parts of this agreement that pertain to U.S. national security. Now, of course, we all saw the U.S.-South Africa relationship come under strain in recent months. And we've already been given a glimpse into what happens when issues of national security for the United States and issues of, you know, foreign policy and sovereignty of an African state collide. Mm-hmm. So how do South Africa and the United States, Marissa, overcome these political sticking points?
Yeah, so for sure, the relationship between the U.S. and South Africa is in a much better position now than it was the first half of this year when, you know, things, I think, were very, very tricky. And there was a potential threat that they could have deteriorated further. But the thing is that South Africa is a very, very important partner in Africa to the U.S., and that the U.S. would not want to take a step back from South Africa, because then, you know, that lets the way forward for other partners to come in and then to play a much more influential role in foreign policy and the kind of global landscape. So the U.S. would not want to let that happen. We can still see that there are members of Congress that do say that South Africa should be immediately expelled from AGOA. And for me, that what that really alludes to is that, you know, I don't necessarily have a problem with the eligibility criteria, but sometimes AGOA becomes effectively a political game. And I think that we mustn't lose sight of that. Yes, it's a trade agreement that benefits African countries, but at the end of the day, it's introduced by the U.S. and African countries are going to have to play by its rules. And sometimes it's not going to apply those rules necessarily fairly, because it is a soft power tool. And at the end of the day, politics is really what means more than anything else. So when it comes to South Africa, it's not so much, I don't think at this point, about how eligible South Africa is, but what it would mean if South Africa was expelled before 2025. Now, when 2025 comes, if it's not renewed, that can also be a concern, because then it's almost like a lack of a vote of confidence in South Africa for investors. And this, for me, is really what AGOA means to African governments. It's less about the actual benefits or the volume of trade and all of that, and it's actually just more about having a variety of foreign partners, so not just China, for example, but also having the U.S. as two of the biggest global players. And then it's also a very good sign of a better business and investment environment. So I think it's important not to lose sight of the kind of political angle of all of this and how it fits into this bigger global political puzzle.
Dennis, speaking here of the politics and you know, working its way into the trade relationship, of course, Uganda, among the countries that President Biden is considering dropping from AGOA, over its controversial gay rights laws. How is Kampala taking the news? And then at the same time, South Africa, which has, in the US's view, done quite a few things that has drawn the ire of Washington, those meetings with Iran, with Hamas, Pretoria's relationship with Moscow. Does it give the impression that South Africa is getting more leeway than, say, Uganda under AGOA as far as eligibility requirements are concerned?
Let me just say three things. Let me ding Marissa and you, Haiti, for just a second. One, AGOA is not an agreement. AGOA has never been negotiated. From that perspective, that's why the three of us can actually say, oh, you know, the United States can do X, Y, and Z. But let's come down to the real political considerations. And I'll tell you something. I know, Haiti, when you and I spoke a few weeks ago, I said, yeah, it was negligible. But the reality is that taking AGOA out of a country or off a country like Uganda, Niger, Chad, any of those countries is devastating, especially because it then makes the governments have to explain to their people, what are you guys doing? Why aren't you advocating fast enough? Why aren't you advocating hard enough? So let me then bring it back to this reality. Haiti, Marissa, and everybody else, I think that we are being a little lazy. Creative trade is a very creative sector. Trade policy, trade negotiations, trade discussions are very creative. And in my opinion, if we try to rush the renewal of AGOA as is and try and do things as they have been done 2002, 2004, 2012, 2015, in my opinion, we are being very lazy. So from that perspective, I would like to say that Marissa is right. We need to focus on the investments, but the investments for what? So from that perspective, four important things. We need to allow AGOA to be 100% DFQF, which is duty-free, quota-free, just like the European Union is giving the Africans. Secondly, we need to remove this limitation. AGOA should be renewed.
Well, we seem to have some problems there with Dennis Mutanda's connection. Marissa, I want to come back to you. Democracy, and of course liberal democracy, as some would say, is one of the underpinnings of AGOA. But is that part of the disconnect here between how the U.S. sees democracy and how other African countries might? Is democracy, like they say about beauty, in the eye of the beholder? And is Western liberal democracy perhaps something that also needs a rethink here?
So I think the issue is more that African governments generally don't like being dictated to. And this, I think, is where that big clash comes in between the U.S. and certain African governments, where they feel that they want to conduct politics in their own manner and they don't want the U.S. to tell them what to do. It's not necessarily, in some cases, an issue with Western liberal democracy, although sometimes it is, but it's more an issue of being told how to run politics, being told how to run your economy. When we're looking at the case of Uganda, you know, with the anti-homosexuality bill, that's almost seen, you know, as the U.S. trying to dictate how Uganda should run its own society and its own culture. So for me, that is where the disconnect is coming in, but that's not something that I see the U.S. under Biden or actually any administration really stepping away from. If we look at the U.S. strategy towards sub-Saharan Africa, which was launched in August last year, so it's just over a year old now, it's kind of got four pillars that it focuses on in its relationship with Africa. And the first pillar that it mentions is enhancing democracy and having more open societies, protecting journalists and encouraging more independent judiciaries. So this, I think, is going to be a non-negotiable, but perhaps the disconnect is going to come from being told what to do and how to run things beyond just kind of like a trade agreement. You know, it's seen as this interference that the U.S. doesn't give leeway for different countries or different styles of government.
We lost Dennis Matanda, but we've also run out of time here. Dennis, you know that we always come back to you in some way or another. Same with you, Marissa. Thank you so much for both of you, Marissa Lorenzo and Dennis Matanda. Thank you for your time, and I really do appreciate your insight. And that is it for us this week. Be sure to find and follow us on social media. You can find more news, of course, on voaafrica.com. Thank you to the more than 300 affiliate TV and radio stations that carry the show across the African continent. And as always, thank you for watching and always listening. We will see you next time. Until then, it's goodbye.